a number of people in the village just about the institution of marriage. And one suggestion also that is in considering the institution of marriage, there is a need to separate the idea of a family from that too. That when you consider marriage, you consider family, there's two different considerations. And one of the reasons that I like the idea, well, I don't know if I'm right about this or not, but it's an idea that I have about this place, people who come here, that it's not altogether like any other place anyway. So anything that we consider or think about, we have a little distance from in this place. And somehow it seems to me that in this community, people do not generally come here looking for the possibility of marriage as they do in some other institutions. Yes, with that I may be wrong about that. If I am, I'd be glad to hear. But somehow the nature of relationships in this place are that they are temporary while you're here, and if they continue, they change once you get out of this place. That's by the nature of this place. A couple of summers ago when I was here, a woman, Kate Monroe, lovely woman, said to me, "Do you find it interesting to be in this place in the summertime where there are so many married people and be a single person?" In the summertime. In the summertime, it does make a great difference because it's a very family-oriented place in the summertime. And those of us who are around who are not married make up a whole separate segment of the population away from the people who are married. And I think we can feel that a little bit in the winter community sometimes, not quite as strongly, but since that feeling isn't quite as strong in the wintertime, I think it gives us a chance to consider it a little bit more clearly, because we're not confronted with it quite so strongly. And another thing that simply comes to mind is a conversation that John Lauber and I had the other day, just about the fact that this form was coming up, and I think the term that you used was the post-college need to get married, which is something that very often people who are post-college, immediately post-college, don't realize that they're going through. That once you've graduated, the next thing to do, logically, is to get married.
Mandatory for the degree?
Yes. Well, it's at least, they'll give you the degree, but it's expected that soon afterwards you will also get a marriage license. It costs a lot less until it comes down to the divorce. Then you pay for it. But the consideration of marriage is something that I think is worth doing for anybody who has been married, as some of us who are here tonight have been, and for people who have considered marriage and gotten just close enough to get a little feel for what it might be like and then gone the other direction, and for people who are considering it in the near future, and for people who have decided that it has no purpose for them and they don't want to do it. I think it's an institution that is so ingrained in our culture that we, I guess I should make it personal. When I got married, I didn't think about what marriage was. It was so ingrained in me that that's what I would do that I never considered what the institution was all about until I was in the middle of it, and then it became a very curious entity that I was somehow surrounded by. So all that I hope we can do this evening is share some ideas, positive, negative, and otherwise. And to begin with, Erling has some information just about the family and marriage in our society that he would like to share with us, and maybe just be able to touch on the starting point.
Yeah, this is I should explain the context for this. This is a part of a manuscript which is in the oven on the evangelical revolution in our time, and the idea being that one of the reasons for the evangelical, you know, resurgence of our time is the fact that so many of the basic institutions of our society, school, government, and so on, show signs of drastic failure. And this is especially true with the family, marriage and the family. And so within that context, I'll just read this because it's a lot of stuff, not a lot, but there's some statistical data here. And although it may mean I don't have significant eye contact with my audience, I'd rather have it accurate than have significant eye contact. Where would you? All right. Anyway, I've got a lot of stuff here by way of introduction, and I'll just jump into the important things. One conclusion, however, is unmistakable. The sexual revolution is having a powerful reshaping effect on the family. In a very comprehensive recent poll by Better Homes and Gardens, the report from 300, no, this is a very serious, solid thing, really. 302,602 correspondents. I mean, people responded. That's a very good national sampling when you can get 302,000 people to, you know, to respond. Okay, those responding to their poll on the families reported this. 75% stated that, quote, the family life in America is in trouble. 22% answered that it was not. Asked, quote, is religion gaining or influence on family life? 25% said it was gaining, 72% said it was losing. It's almost a 3-to-1 difference there on both of those points. All right. What is less easy to explain is why these trends should be occurring. The fact that, quote, family life is in trouble and that religion is having less influence on family life. The specialists suggest a combination, and I'll go into these, of four factors, any one of which would break up a family, and these have appeared in increasing strength in this decade. And this is a pretty bleak picture, but I think it can be documented. These four that are isolated out are crime and violence, vice, new lifestyles, and changing employment patterns. Okay. The drastic increase in violent crime has had a direct impact on family stability. We know of the upswing in both wife and child beating, the crimes of assault and rape, show no marked decline. So too, the strains on family life due to alcoholism and drug abuse are a part of the daily world in which we live. In crimes of vice, the pattern is the same. Soaring increases in prostitution across the country, in small towns as well as large in its many forms, and the rest tell us much about the condition of marriage for many people. Allied with prostitution and often controlled by major crime syndicates is the booming industry of pornography in films and books. In each instance, the result is to debase, depersonalize, or ignore the tenets of morality inherent in traditional monogamous marriage, tenets such as fidelity, trust, mutuality, affection, and respect. In an allied category, the Bureau of Census reports an enormous increase of illegitimate births in the 1970s. By 1977, 1 out of 7 children were born out of wedlock. That means 14.8% of all mothers were unwed. This statement, however, makes the situation sound as though the women were alone to blame, and I'm aware of the sexist implications of the statement. And the indication or an implication this author does not want to make. Of the unwed mothers, nearly 1/3 were 19 years of age or younger. Unquestionably, in the 1970s, the most influential and controversial force affecting sexual behavior has been the legalization of abortion by the Supreme Court in 1973. It is no longer a crime. Millions of Americans reject the charge that it is an act of violence, and see it instead as an act of compassion or, as the banners read, pro-choice. Yet for other thousands, abortion has become a form of contraception, a last-ditch protection against an unwanted child in or out of marriage. Beyond the impact of crime and vice in the family, Americans have accepted and many have experimented with changing sexual lifestyles or patterns of behavior. The evidence, I think, here is overwhelming. We have the increasing phenomenon of couples living together without being married, the best estimate being that the number has doubled from 1970, from 654,000 to 1.3 million adults by 1978. That's a big jump from 654,000 to 1.3 million in 7 years. There is spouse swapping, single bars, and apartment buildings established to encourage the swell as glamorized and slick consumer-oriented mass magazines presenting exotic, trouble-free, no children alternatives to these dope stuck with families and mortgages. The increase in divorces has reached an epidemic stage as state legislatures increasingly make the procedures easier, quicker, and less judgmental. Today, almost 1 in 3 marriages of persons between 25 and 35 end in divorce. Another statistic shows that there are now 84 divorced persons for every 1,100 married persons, a 79% increase since 1970. Unquestionably, many marriages which could not be considered satisfactory by either participant have been held together only by strict divorce laws. That's the way the situation has now, for the most part, been corrected. The ease of divorce by the late 1970s, however, also has eased the traditional idea that marriage requires a serious commitment and pledge of fidelity as basic to a successful union. Still, other signs of changing family patterns have appeared. Parents without partners have become an accepted way of raising children. Those divorced or widowed, by comparison to earlier years, feel far less compelled to remarry again, primarily to provide a spouse for the children still at home. Further, many states have made it easier for fathers to be single parents. rather than perpetuate the older tradition of the mother invariably receiving custody in a divorce. In the last 3 years, that is since 1976, this trend has increased 58%, which is, you know, a fantastic figure. A comparatively new alternative is to delay having children until one partner has completed her or his education, usually at the graduate level, then limit the number of children to one or two. An increasing number, by their own choice, that is, not by physical infertility, have chosen to have no children. Here we see the full impact of technology's inventiveness with contraceptive devices coupled with abortion that has led to the birth rate dropping below ZPG or zero population growth. And still another alternative in the, is the world of gays. The fourth major change in family patterns is the two career families, that a man's or economy lifestyle make on changing employment patterns. Almost half the working force are women. This is no longer considered a reversible alternative, I think, for women in, now that we've gone this far. The evidence shows that the two career families do not necessarily have higher divorce rates, unhappier children, or tendencies towards alcoholism or drug usage. What does emerge is what we see every day. Fewer strains on the marriage due to lack of income, women who desire outside employment being able to find it, with discriminatory sexism, of course, still flourishing, and less time, on the other hand, of course, for family activity. After these, the pressures of television and tabloids news stories, accessible everywhere, painting glamorous scenes of the sex lives of pop culture and entertainers, while largely ignoring discussion of stable family situations. I am thinking, you know, of soap and police company and so on. In light of rising illegitimacy, many health officials have made accessibility to contraceptive devices for teenagers far more simple than before. While this helps prevent unwanted diseases and pregnancy, it also gives the users the opportunity to experiment more freely in physical relationships, thus helping to turn sexual intimacy into one more routine form of kink. In some, the sexual revolution, it's a revelation too for some. I really had a typo there, nothing else. So, yeah, the sexual revolution is a fixed part of our social landscape. Much has been gained through the more open and accurate discussion in secular and church worlds about human sexuality. Yet the anguish and dehumanization also accompanying it is a part of its record. I told you it's kind of a bleak record. So I think some people are, when you look at something like that, are rather reluctant to say, this is what I want to get into.
With that as background information and some statistics, and I'm sure personally people have their own statistics about friends, relatives, things like that. I would like to just open this up to any kind of discussion that people are interested in terms of consideration of marriage now, as at this point in our culture, and what family life means and what the import of it is. As we titled the forum, the institution of marriage, can we live with it? Can we live without it? I think those are two legitimate questions. And if we can simply begin with a discussion of some sort. Any comments on the reading?
When I heard that thing about people being not married and living with each other, is there anything about that good or bad? And then can't they tell? If somebody is very, negative.
I'm trying to paint the fact that for a lot of people see the traditional monogamous family coming apart, and this would be the evidence that they would use. You're saying that living together isn't necessarily so bad?
Yeah. If you live with somebody, and then you figure
together, and you have to stay together.
true. And people say that. But, I mean, that's quite, I think the point of what Erling was reading was is that that's what people are saying, that marriage as an institution in our culture is breaking down. And that typically comes through. And what some people give as a reason for that is that a lot of people don't hold that institution to be very important anymore. And that they consider alternatives to it a much better way of going.
You have to ask what happens when there's children involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when it really becomes important. Mm-hmm. You can look together because of the fact that sooner or later, you know, you could get pregnant and there could be a child involved and that child's not going to...
Not going to what?
Well, he's not going to have the traditional...
I don't know if that's the...
I think,
yeah, but that's not even legal, but emotional, you know, what this child's going to be raised as, the pictures of the child's life are the most important, you know.
Yeah.
Since he's got a mom and dad that are coming and going, you know, and he doesn't really know what's going on, it's going to be, this person that he's not going to know. Well, no, but there's not this commitment. Well, I don't know. It all